Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. It's Fiona here and I've got Luke with me, my Gen Z. And today, Luke, I just wanted to have a talk to you about what is coming into your social media feed at the moment. And I'm talking about TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all those, X, any Facebook, any sort of things that are coming up. Because today I was listening to some podcasts before I came to do the recording this morning, and I was thinking so much of my feed, and most of my feed is coming from TikTok, if listeners want to know, and it's coming through as political. A lot of American stuff, a lot of the what's happening in America I'm seeing. I'm also seeing a lot of pop culture stuff like movies and actors and gossip and things like that, like The Real Housewives. What are you seeing at the moment? Let's have a chat what the different generations are getting on their feeds.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Well, just before we even get to that point, what I thought would be interesting to also talk about is how quickly your feed can change.
Yes, yes.
So I, because I don't really use that much social media. And so when I'm talking about what social media I do see, like, it's very niche because I'm not sure how many people are actually doing this. But, you know, I don't use Instagram or TikTok or X. But I am logged into Facebook.
Are you? That surprises me. You seem young for Facebook.
Yes. So, like, you know, I'll still do a bit of a scroll on Facebook, and Facebook now has Facebook Shorts.
Oh, right? Does it? Like a reel sort of thing or a TikTok video?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, because I only really started using that recently, I can see very quickly how the algorithm changes so quickly and how reactive it is.
Yes.
But, you know, I would say that I was probably on it for maybe 10 minutes. Mm. And what had I clicked on? I think it was like a video game related thing.
Yes.
I hovered over it for a little bit longer than maybe I even liked it. A little bit longer on it than anything. The next day I went back. It was in completely all algorithm. That was the entire algorithm. And another thing that it really fed on was nostalgia.
Oh, really?
Like alongside the video game stuff, I think I had come across one of those classic things where, well, classic, the years are classic for me, but it's like, do you remember this show from the early 2000s? And you go, oh yeah, I do. And then you like it. And then your entire feed is just people saying like, take me back to 2010.
The Golden Girls or Friends or something like that. Seinfeld, yeah.
So the equivalent of that essentially, like, you know, things like The Office and Parks and Rec and all of those kind of
Big
shows.
Big Bang Theory, yeah.
So that type of vibe. And so in terms of my news feed, and I'm sure that if I really wanted to, I could get rid of it.
Yeah.
But that's a majority now of my newsfeed is video game related and nostalgia bait related. And interestingly, because I always kind of thought when it came to world news, it was pushed quite strongly on Facebook, but I have make a real concerted effort where I basically don't engage in anything.
Okay.
And in terms of the actual news that I get, it is very fluid.
Yes.
And like in terms of political alignment, it can actually oscillate even though I haven't engaged with things.
Yes.
There's now and then when I might get one that I really disagree with where I'm like, I don't want you to even humor that you think I like this stuff.
Yes.
But it's actually a lot more dynamic when you don't engage with it as much, which I thought was quite surprising. Whereas it sounds like yours might be a little bit more curated based on what you engage in.
Sometimes I have to be careful because I didn't realize that if you watch something, the algorithm then sees that as a like, whether you've liked it or not. So I didn't realize that. And I got told that by a social media expert. And so they said, you might watch a video and think, well, I'm definitely not going to like that because I don't like that. But the fact that you watched it then means that the algorithm thinks that you gave it a like. So sometimes I'll see something come up and I see the first sort of 5 seconds and think, oh God, no, I've got to scroll past that because I don't want the algorithm to think that's what I want to see now. So I consciously think that when I'm scrolling through. and think, oh, no, 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 I've got to go past that because I don't want the algorithm to think that's it. But you can go down a rabbit hole so easily, you know. And sometimes I like to watch a lot of social commentary sort of stuff, and then sometimes that social commentary will talk about a topic, like, say, ballerina farm where tradwife, and or they'll talk about, you know, group seven. And then I start going, oh, what's that? Because I always want to be up with it. I always want to be up with what's going on. And so, you know, or 67. And I think, right, then I start going through my feed looking for that, thinking, what is that? What, I just want to know what that is. Or I look it up online on Google and go, what is this that they're talking about? And then I think, oh, yeah, I'm interested in that. Or I think, oh, no, I'm not really. I better scroll past that pretty fast. So, but I do that quite a lot. But I noticed that a lot of nostalgia is really interesting. I get a lot of that as well, particularly music.
Mm.
I get a lot of music, like, you know, on this day in September 1988, here's the top 10 songs, you know, and I will look at each of them. I often double speed it, like I do that quite a bit because I just want to see, or I just fast forward it to the end and just see what the top 10 songs were. I just want to know what they were. So I do a bit of that as well. So because of that, I get quite a lot of the music ones, but I get a lot of political. And it's funny because sometimes I think, is that a healthy space? Because I think a lot of my political can make me quite angry, you know, like without realizing that it's bringing up my my anger issues because I'm not happy with what I'm seeing, you know, I'm not happy with that comment or. I suppose you have to be so careful, though, like with the BBC stuff that's happened recently where they showed how they changed Trump's speech to make it mean something completely different and, you know, the head guy and his second in charge both lost their jobs. And I'm literally watching a minute or maybe 5 minutes grab. I have to be really careful where the edits are, you know, and what's been shown to me. Like I did think about that this week, that I'll have to be really careful about, is that true? What I'm actually, did he actually, he might have said it, but was it in that order? You know what I mean? Just.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, when it comes to, again, I would say the only things that I really use are Facebook and YouTube. I don't engage with anything even quasi-political on Facebook because it just is not, it's not possible. Like it's, generally speaking, it's, as you said, it's about attention grabbing, not about relaying information. Yes. And I find it's funny you say that because I feel the same way when I'm like on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I've actually found quite a few really good YouTube channels that I will watch about like world news. Like I watched this really good video yesterday called Gold Explained Finally.
Oh,
just
to learn
about the history of gold.
Yes, yes.
And that led me to some really great accounts that are doing some really amazing journalism. And I actually feel a lot more balanced after that.
Yes. I love history stuff. I love learning on it. Like, is it like a long video? Like, how long is that learning about gold? How long was that?
That was about half an hour.
Yeah. Okay. Good spend of time. Because it's easier to watch than read, I reckon, half the time.
I agree. And I also just think that this is just for me, maybe not everyone will share this sentiment, but I actually feel that it's easier to discern the information that you're getting when you're watching it as well.
Yeah.
I think reading it can sometimes actually lead to this bias of like, because I'm reading it, it's true.
Yes. Yes. I sometimes find when I'm reading it, I drift off a little bit, you know, and then all of a sudden I think, oh, what was that page again? I have to go back and reread it. You know, sometimes I've just drifted off thinking it's thought of another concept in my head and I've gone somewhere else. Whereas when I'm watching it, I'm actually more present. But that could be the way we learn, you know, that we learn by visual and listening and watching. I love the algorithm when it teaches me something. I love it, like history. I love it. I really love it.
Just thinking about that. Do you think that you make a concerted effort to curate your algorithm?
I do. Yeah, I definitely do. So I'm going to talk about TikTok. So that's probably where I watch most of my stuff.
Yeah.
I don't do Facebook and I barely do Instagram. I don't know. I find Instagram boring, but TikTok I love. and maybe I've got a short attention span, but when you first join, it asks you what you like to do, you know, and you tick, I like entertainment, I like this, I like that. And so since I learnt, if it thinks that I'm watching it, that I like it, I'm really careful about that. And so I also follow people that I think, oh, that's a really interesting person. So I'll follow, I then do, you know, you tick them to say, I'm going to follow you. So I curate that quite a bit. And if I get something from that person and I think, why on earth was I watching you? I untick them, you know what I mean? I'll unfollow a person because I just want it to be, I think I want it to be educational. I really do. Like, I don't want to watch dancers and, I mean, I say educational, like I love the history stuff and I love learning what the world's going through at the moment, but I also love entertainment stuff as well. I love, I will base going to see a movie on some of those things that I see or, you know, what's the 10 best things to watch on Netflix now? And then I'll think, okay, I'm going to watch this one. And I use it a lot for information like that, like an awful lot, actually. Do you do that at all?
I do.
Yeah.
I would say that, again, I'm probably more on the YouTube side of things, though. But I definitely, particularly now, like I am quite specific about who I subscribe to.
Yes,
it is a lot of, and it's interesting because I think it's a lot of adjacent information, like things that you wouldn't maybe come across naturally either through your work or through your interests, but are really like the gold, right? Like that was really important to learn about. And I think that really did better me, but I wouldn't come across that normally. So I think a lot of content like that, I engage in a lot on YouTube. Do you think that you, because what I'll say is I've done a pretty good job of curating my feed so there isn't much politics on it.
Yeah.
That's a choice that I make personally, just because I think that unsolicited information can really impact your day and your mood and how you go about your stuff. And so if I want to learn about something or know about something, I want to have the kind of autonomy to go out of my way to find it.
Yeah.
Do you think that when you're curating, you're wanting political content?
Yeah, I do. I think I definitely do. Because I follow a lot of good news feeds. I'm very careful who I follow. Do you know, just talking about that curating as well, I used to get a lot of stuff about the royal family in my feed, a lot about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and, you know, a lot about Andrew and Sarah Ferguson nowadays. But sometimes I'm watching some of this stuff and I'm thinking in my own head, like, this is so awful and bullying and what do they want them to do? Do they want them to kill themselves? Like this would be horrible having this all the time. What would this commentator, what would make you happy? What are they meant to do? Like sometimes I find
scrutiny.
And sometimes the same people are going on and on and on over a year. And I think, and in my own head, I'm thinking, get a life. Like just stop talking about them. Like, can we just talk about something else?
100%. And I felt that a lot as well when I was getting a little bit more political stuff where it's sometimes obviously there's ongoing things and it's always good to get different perspectives on different sources, but it could almost become this echo chamber where you've got the same people talking about the same thing and offering really no actual like value to their insights.
Yeah, it's
like
nothing.
It is just almost a reactionary thing of just jumping on stuff. And so when that's happening, it's not even really news anyway. Like you're actually just having an emotion elicited that you're connecting to something that's not even related.
Yeah, because sometimes the scrutiny on a public person, it's extreme. It can be as much as you didn't wear a poppy in the week of when we, you know, celebrate our veterans, you know, they for Remembrance Day. And I think, well, maybe they just didn't wear a poppy. It doesn't mean that they're not respectful of it. It's a really strange place, I think. It's a real, an echo chamber is probably a really good idea. But, you know, sometimes the social media can just be so great. It can bring back such lovely memories of times that you've had when you listen to, you know, but particularly I suppose I'm going back to music again. And I just think, oh, I love that song. And then it will trigger a memory for me, you know, of where I first heard that song or an experience. And I really like that. Like it triggers a lot of memories for me, music, a lot. And I think about, oh, where was I when I first heard that? Who really loved that song? What was I doing? So I do really enjoy that. I really enjoy that aspect of it. But I, you know, here I am saying these people, what are they meant to do and hurt themselves? But I do love some of the social gossip. I really do. I find that quite entertaining sometimes. And I think that comes from a background of I used to buy so many magazines a month. It would be over $100 every month easily buying in magazines. And I used to have the best magazine collection. And like people would come over and go, I love it with your magazines. And so I think I've transitioned from paper to now social media. Yes. You know what I mean? I think that's all it is. And also what you wouldn't know about me is when I was a young kid, I was obsessed with reading the newspaper always. Mm. And so I would get up half an hour earlier than my dad so I could get the paper off the front lawn, and I would have the first 2 to 4 pages read before he got out of bed, and then I would hand him those pages and I'd keep the middle section, and while we ate breakfast he'd read the front and back of those pages and I'd still read the middle section, and then I'd go to school and hand the rest back to him.
Oh, and that's so cute.
That's ever since I was a young child. So I think that's why my feed is so much like political and news and what's happening in the world, because I've just transitioned from paper to digital media. I think that's all it is. And I only gave up newspapers, well, it was a while ago now, because one day I was out with my sister and brother-in-law and I'd bought a paper while we were out having lunch. And my brother-in-law said to me, I'm a bit stunned that you've bought a paper. And I was like, why? And he goes, well, that's yesterday's news. And he goes, that's not today's news. And then he put some apps on my phone of like The Age and a couple of different things. And he said, here's the news. And that's when I don't think I ever bought a newspaper after that ever again. I just never bought a newspaper again, because all of a sudden I had it on my phone and I could just look it up in the moment. But then you've got to be really careful, because like during COVID lockdown, when I wasn't working, I went into a spiral of just reading it too much, if that makes sense, to the point where my thumb became sore. I gave myself an RSI from just too much doing that. Doom scrolling, is that what they call it? Yeah, doom scrolling. So I had to sort of pull back a little bit on that. You can, you know, but I would tell you, when I get out of bed, I try not to look at my phone first, but get out of bed, go to the bathroom, have a shower, and then while I'm eating my breakfast, I'm straight onto my apps, which are news feeds immediately. I want to know what's happened overnight. I want to know what's going on in the world, and I'll read all the news before I literally get to work, and then I'll check it again at lunchtime, and then I'll check it again at night, always.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think that there's obviously a place for that, because prior to social media, that was, you know, as you're saying with the newspapers, that's what we were doing anyway.
Always.
I think it's because it's using obviously a platform that's not just the written word, the way that it can hijack your brain is very different.
Mm.
And so it's just really important, and that's why I use social media the way I do, which is minimal and sparingly, is just making sure that there is still a level of autonomy in it. There's the autonomy that you want to be a global citizen, that you want to stay connected with the news, with the world, and that's not something that should ever be taken away from you.
Mm.
But making sure that when you're using these platforms, as you said, when you're getting that premium current news, that's actually what you're accessing.
Yeah. You got to be really careful where your sources are, like really, really careful. I do sometimes listen to people who they would be considered far left or far right, because I want to see what they're saying. Like I will absolutely admit that. And because it interests me to know, I think you should, I'm not going to call them enemies, but you should know what the other side is saying. You know what I mean? I think you should always know. The thing is, because it surprises me sometimes, though, because I use it so much as a learning tool, and I know a lot about the world, And that could be age related as well. And because I still read a lot. But I'm surprised when I go out with people and they don't know a lot. Not that I'm the smartest person in the room, because I'm definitely not, but like I'm pretty up to date with what's going on in the world, and as an all rounder, I have a pretty good idea what's going on. Maybe that's why we do the podcast.
I think you would be really surprised how little I know about current like political events.
Really? Really?
You would be really surprised.
I wonder, but why is that? Because you've been... I think it's just because your world has been all about getting through this and getting your course done and, you know, whereas I've done all that, you know, so now it's just, now it's just about what's going on in the world around me and what's happening and, you know, you've got to be careful that you don't become fearful or, you know, like I'm not going to travel to America because of what's happening. Well, yeah, you can still travel to America, you know, but you got to be careful. You have to not, I think what we were saying about just being careful where the feed's coming from and what you're listening to and, it's interesting times.
Very interesting times.
It's just sometimes I worry, sometimes I see what young people are doing and I just think, oh, where are you getting that information from? Like, you know, fitness bros and all that sort of stuff. That does worry me a little bit. And so sometimes I'll say something to someone and go, well, you know, that person's not really educated in that area. They're just giving you their own views. Maybe you need to look a little bit wider. Just to be careful of that, you know?
Yeah. And again, that's just going back to that idea of just being mindful of what you're consuming and, you know, are you consuming news? Are you consuming someone's commodity and they're selling something to you? Are you consuming someone's like agenda?
Mm.
You know, those are just things to be really, really mindful of.
Someone once told me, and I think it was on this podcast, that one of the things you have to really be mindful of is who owns those companies and what are their views at the moment. And so because they are directing where they need to be. And you have to think about that, about who owns this company and where are they at in the world at the moment and where are their political views and what are they saying in this space? Take that in as well when you're thinking about it, because it's controlled by very few people, very, very few people.
What I would also say, though, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think that everyone really does also need to develop a level of discipline around space from information as well.
True.
I think it's so, so important to be able to like disconnect and not feel like you're missing anything and not to feel... I think sometimes too much information really does lead to this sense of imbalance, and there is a level of it that is a little bit unnatural, knowing as much as we do. And I think that's something that's really important to be mindful. Like we're autonomous individuals that can make our own decisions based on our own sources, but ultimately we aren't experts in many things. And so don't put the pressure on yourself to be that.
That's so true. It's like get out and get into the sunshine.
Yes.
without your phone, you know, get out and do that. I know like when I'm walking my dog and we walk our dog multiple times a day, it's a time where I don't touch my phone. So my phone goes into my backpack and like I miss lots of phone calls and messages and literally when I get back, I'll go, oh, sorry, I was walking the dog. Like yesterday I had an incident where I had so many missed phone calls during that walk because we went for quite a long time. But it's the time when I just get in, look up. Look up, you know.
Absolutely.
I had conversations with people in shops and I had conversations, you know. I learnt that my hairdresser's selling their business and went and talked to someone else to talk about their new baby and how it's exhausting with the new business that they've got. And, you know, then talked to all these different dog owners and found out what their dog names are. I was all on my phone. I wouldn't have had any of those conversations. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think it's just being mindful of yourself, like as we've kind of alluded to so far in our talk, like you can feel it in your body when what you're consuming is eliciting a response. And it's really important to listen to your body then and not keep putting yourself under that strain. and go, yep, I probably know as much as I need to. What I can know the most about is my body and what's going on for me right now. And that's what I should be kind of being pulled by.
Yeah, it's so true. Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.